got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Now, here are the nerds.
Hello, Nerdians, and we're going to rage today on the Nerd Show. We're all a little frustrated and testy for a few reasons.
Frustrated and testy, I hit the microphone on accident.
Hey, all three of us are together for the first time this year. As I move.
Good hand placement there, Nick.
Yeah, I was like, gosh, it's like my first time on radio. Oh, it's good to be back with Scott, with Micah, and myself, Nick Kenny. We're also known as
Darth Monger.
Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
Lazy today.
I'm still wondering how many times we will have to do this show before Nick does his little pregnant pause, like just settling of himself when he hears the Darth Harmonic. Darthus Pincus. I guess until we get that to be more common, but that's all right.
Nah.
But let's not bicker and argue about that. Let's complain and rage about the amount of fake trailers and other crap that has come out as of late that is just really irritating.
I am grumpy. This started a few weeks ago. I can't remember. I was taking some notes. I don't know if it was you, Scott, or me.
I think it was me.
For Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, season two. Yep.
And, you know, I go, I hadn't heard. We keep up. We are on the Nerd Show, for crying out loud. So when things go, well, that looks pretty good. Oh, yeah, the Marshall is still out there. This is interesting. Nope. Fake. Yep. Just fake. Recently, today, I was texting you guys before the show.
Yeah.
Said, hey, I saw a trailer, you know, briefly for Back to the Future 4, and it's starring Tom Holland, and seeing him look so much like a young Michael J. Fox. It's like, this is kind of neat. And then I watched it again, and then immediately when I closed that, because I kind of just like half-ass watch things, my mind's elsewhere. Then I'm scrolling through Twitter, and Tom Holland reacts to deepfake of Back to the Future 4 trailer. I said, that was fake? Dang it.
Yep.
And Scott, today you sent an Acolyte trailer.
Yeah, there's one out there, and it's only a couple days. And I guess there's somebody called Darth Trailer. So maybe if Darth Trailer ever decides that they're going to, you know, reveal themselves to the Jedi or whatever we are here and wants to go into why this is such a big thing.
You could call. Oh, wait. No, we're not live.
No, we're not
live. But if we were live, you could call 353-1310.
I think his name should be Darthus Pincus.
Maybe so. But we could get some ideas.
Darth Trailer.
Because I think where we're going with this, Nick, and I was frustrated just like you were, is that you, as fans, get excited when you see things that are coming up. And there's news coming out all the time. You know, I mean, there was stuff that came out, you know, at the beginning of the week about Bad Batch. You know, we got the release schedule from Disney, and we see that coming, and it's dropping on February 21st. We're going to get 3 episodes, so lots of great stuff going on there. And you just, there's all of this news, and you get caught up in it, and you're seeing that, and then it leads you to something else, and leads you to something else, and then you're watching a deep fake, not a really good one, by the way. So I do, you know, take away 2 points for the fact that it's not a really good deep fake. But at least it, in passing, if you're watching it kind of casually, you would think, oh, wow, oh my gosh, look at this. And, you know, it looks like actual footage could be from a film, and it is nothing close to it. And it's, I would love to know what is the motivation, because I would hate to think it's just for clicks and just for advertisement and just to be able to get views so that way you can make money and by fooling everybody. So,
speaking of making money by fooling everybody, I've seen some advertisements where supposed CEOs of companies are saying, hey, give us some money, click on the screen. So it has one of those little, have your phone take a picture of the screen and
it's called a QR code, but yes.
The QR code.
Mm-hmm.
Take a picture of the QR code, and you'll get some free, you know, we'll airdrop you some money. Well, those are deep fakes, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would never do that.
I still have a friend. He's a prince, actually, over in Africa. Helped him out years ago. He hasn't done a great job of staying in touch, but bailed him out of a sticky bind. I don't know how he got my email.
Yeah.
No, I to your point, Scott, what's the point? There was an alien, not Covenant, like Covenant Resurrection Part 7. That was a deep, I go, that just looks pretty good. And I don't know those movies well enough to know that's already footage from past movies. Yeah. And is it for the clicks? Is it just some, look what I can do with the technology I have, or this is what I would love to see happen. But also, some of them do such a good job of, you know, with trailers of, you know, a little bit of an intro with some dramatic music, and then they have some of the logos or the cutscenes, you know, for the deep fake of Back to the Future 4, which isn't happening as far as we know.
Don't make Back to the Future 4. The trilogy is great. Keep it the way it is.
Well, the point is they have that bicycle with the E.T. background, you know, famous for Spielberg.
The Amblin Entertainment, yeah.
How do they get away with doing that?
There's some laws that allow you to do that due to, like for instance, educational purposes, also art purposes. So if you want to
But these are deep fakes, so I can't imagine that these are appropriate for YouTube or whatever, that's
something that hasn't been addressed just yet. So if no one's lost money on this, and it hasn't gone to court yet, people are going to continue to do this until some landmark issue goes to court. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's probably going to have to do with if a big corporation loses money or a lot of people get scammed.
Isn't this what the writer's strike was about, though? This looks like AI-generated
a little bit
content.
Is. The other element is that, you know, there are parody laws, and we know that that's how, you know, like Weird Al gets away with doing all the stuff that he does, because there's an element of parody that you're able to do in that regard. And so I don't know, maybe a lot of this falls into that category. You know, maybe somebody who's creating something going, well, it's not real. It's just a parody and we're doing this or we're making fun. You know, I don't know. So I think going back to where you were going with this and what Micah was saying, I don't know that somebody's going to have to lose money. I think somebody's going to have to get their butt sued. And then it's going to have to have
kind of like what happened with Paramount and CBS, or it was just CBS at the time, suing the Star Trek fans for making fan fiction. While a lot of it was making them a certain amount of money, they sued the people making the fan fiction, and that really hurt a lot of fan fiction makers.
Well, this essentially is, I don't know if I'd call it fan fiction when it's just a minute and a half or 2 minute trailer.
In a way it is, I would say.
I think it might fall into that, but I think the bigger issue here, and I think this is where I get irritated, and Nick, I think this is why you were irritated as well, is that really good fan fiction films, they state that right up front. This is fan fiction. This is what we're doing and everything else. And
you'll see that on some of the YouTube clips.
And they will say that, but there's a lot of these things, like the one that you know, we're talking to about, you know, with the Back to the Future 4 thing. And I went back and looked at the one for The Acolyte that I had heard about that came out about a month ago. And there's nothing on there that says, you know, this is a fan fiction short film or wouldn't it be great if. There's no lead in. There's no identifying elements that you would get. And maybe there's something at the very end going, ha-ha, we fooled you or whatever else. But we're not sticking around long enough usually to see that. So I think the frustration comes from being fooled into thinking you're seeing something that is simply, you know, fan fiction, or it's somebody's crazy idea. Wouldn't this be cool that we do it? But you're not going into it with that understanding.
If you guys are going to do this, I think if people are going to do this on April Fool's Day. Like there are some really hilarious jokes that you can pull on April Fool's Day. But I think majority of this is for clicks. I think majority of this is for people trying to make money. And some of these are really good, and
well,
this could be
titled,
like basically a job interview for people.
Yeah, maybe that. How they're titled frustrates me too. Of teaser trailer, final trailer.
Yep.
And half the time, because I don't go to a lot of movies, that's usually where I can, you know, sit there and say, oh, this movie is coming out because I'm seeing a trailer in a movie theater. When I'm just scrolling through social media or something pops up on YouTube, said, oh, teaser trailer for, again, example, yeah. Back to the Future 4.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were doing this. Neat. Oh, yeah. Cool. Tom Holland would be great as a young Michael J. Fox. And it's not fan-made. Fan-made trailer or, yeah. You know, final teaser trailer, first trailer, final this. It's very convincing. So how do you find out what's actually legit or not to – because they're named so well and – I've got bamboozled, and I admit that. We've all been bamboozled.
There are publications out there that follow this stuff better than we do. You just pick the one that you think is the most legitimate and follow them. Or follow more than one.
Or I guess you just, whenever we see that, we go to the source, figure out, you know, is this actually from, you know, the official Disney YouTube channel? Is it from the official, you know, Marvel or DC or whatever else? Is it from their page or from somebody else's? And I think that's where we're probably all getting bamboozled, is that we all want to be the first to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody is able to grab something that you didn't realize was coming until just right now, you get excited, you want to share, and you want to do it. So,
best thing for the media to learn, you don't have to be first. You just have to get it right.
Yeah. Frustrated. Flustered. Bamboozled. I don't like it. Well, we'll talk other nerdy things. That was our rant. Stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. We're still venting.
I'll take a venti latte with a 3 spruce scoop of cheese. Did that make sense?
No.
Okay, I don't really drink coffee. My caffeine comes from Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew,
if you'd like to sponsor us,
which
call
is not a sponsor.
356-1310 and ask for any of our salespeople.
That sounds like a fabulous idea.
And give me and Scott and Nick 90% of the money.
I can manage that for everyone.
I'm sure you could. It's good to know.
Or we could trade.
But, you know, you were talking, like, literally while we were off air about, like, Dune 2. And we know Dune is coming out here in just a couple months. And so excited about that. Have seen a lot of the trailers. I actually went and saw Aquaman over the weekend. Oh my gosh, we can.
But you were so excited about that, weren't you?
I was, and I was so let down.
But Scott has refused to drink water since then.
Yeah.
In protest of how bad it was.
Scott, you're looking a little dehydrated.
But, you know, seeing the trailer for the new Dune, you know, the second version, and it's nothing new, but it's just very exciting. It looks epic. I cannot wait to see what happens. I also thought it was funny is they were also advertising that, I think it's next month, they're doing like a 2-night re-release of the original Dune.
Good. We were talking
in theaters,
about that
so it's kind of like, wow, are we going to be able to see the old version? And I think we can. And after seeing the preview of it, I'm not sure that I want to see it again.
Oh, the original?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there are some people who I was talking to because I love the new Dune. I didn't read the books, and then I read the books, didn't like the books as much. Which is more rare for me to not enjoy it. And it wasn't because it was tainted by, you know, the modern storytelling. And, oh, the original movie, though, it whatever. I really liked the storytelling. I did not like how the book was panned out. But I don't have a desire to see the old Dune.
Yeah, I remember seeing it once, and I think I thought that was enough back then, and I wasn't near as big of a pop culture fanatic as I am now. So,
were you a fan of Toto?
A little, because they did most of the music for that film, didn't they?
They were not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that Toto.
No, yeah. Yeah, so they did quite a bit of the music, and you had, which is funny because you also had Sting in like one of his few, if only acting, you know, ventures, and that was a little weird.
I think he's in Only Murders in the Building.
Ew, his performance stung.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Really?
Bad joke alert. Bad joke alert. Bad joke alert. Bad joke alert.
Yep.
Yeah. Congratulations. You've received the Nick Kenny Bad Joke Award for your despicably bad joke. This is not an honor. You have brought shame upon yourself and your family.
Did
go
you
Broncos.
See the... Oh. I cut off the Go Broncos. Shame on me.
Yeah.
Did you see the latest, like the very end of the trailer where Timothée Chalamet just walked out?
I feel like...
he walked out of the Golden Globes.
He did.
Oh.
He was very upset, apparently, that he didn't win.
Oh.
I don't know what he was going for. Was it best actor, maybe? But I think Jeremy, what's his last name? White? Anyway, he was in The Bear. Phenomenal TV series, by the way. The Bear, I think it's on Hulu, and rightfully deserved, especially with one of the monologues that kind of stuck out to me, and it popped up on YouTube. And I knew it was a real monologue and not a deepfake because I had seen the show. I'm going to reference in that being grumpy all show. Anyway, I don't know. I don't go to enough movies to see if they're real or not. But I am excited for Dune 2. I am excited for...
Dune Part 2.
Part 2, yes.
Let's be very clear. It's not... It's the second part of the original Dune book, and it's how it's being portrayed. It's not... It's just Part 2.
Part 2, yes. Yeah.
And which, you know, we're seeing that more and more, and I like how kind of Endgame and, you know, Infinity War sort of created this whole, you know, if you want to do a big, epic, five-hour film... You break it in half, or you do it like that, and you do it in such a way where you could set that up. I feel like Infinity War and Endgame felt like two separate movies. Mm-hmm. It really did. Whereas I feel like that Dune, I'm hoping it feels like just one really long film. And, you know, having watched it a second time and seeing where the film ends, I'm hoping that where we will go, it will actually feel like that. But it kind of felt like the end of a... You know, end of a chapter of a book. So hopefully it will have more of a flow. Kind of like, you know, the end of Rogue One going into A New Hope. I mean, that is a very great way to bring those two films together. So I'm hoping they do that with Dune Part 1 and 2.
I think after having read the book too, I'm glad they're doing that type of five-hour epic movie instead of a series, like a mini-series. Because there are some that I wish, you know, some movies that I think could have been better told if it had 7 or 8 hours to tell that story, but they're trying to cram it into a 2.5 to 3 hour movie. There are also some TV series that I think would be just fine as a 3 hour movie or 2.5 hour film. Dune, having not seen Part 2 yet, feels... I hope I'm not sitting there wanting more and wishing they could have told more of a story by elongating that into a mini series. But having read the book already, that wouldn't... To me, that would just seem like they're trying to make more money, and I'm excited for this approach and hope to feel that same way.
Well, and I think you and I have had conversations off air about kind of like the Lord of the Rings and everything else, that we had this really great series that they took and made three movies out of one book that, you know, really got into the nuances of everything else, and then we tried to make one movie out of three books, and it was like, wait, that didn't work. Or maybe it was just three, out of the one.
Three movies out of one book.
Yeah.
A children's book, even.
Yeah, a children's book with The Hobbit. And it was like, this is, not quite the way that should have been done. And so, you know, I'm curious to see if you will think that after the second film comes out, because I do think that there's enough elements around what's going on in the galaxy, what's going on in some of the families and the houses and within, you know, the Harkonnens and everything else, that I think it could have been done really well as a series. I think of Andor and about the ways that we were able to get through that. And I would not have minded that as a series for Dune.
They do have a series coming out, though.
for
the Sisters of the Witchy Washy. Yeah.
Well, I think that makes sense to do when if you're doing a spinoff or a series where you can grow some of those side characters or side elements that weren't the main focus. We'll use Lord of the Rings, for example, the original trilogy, you know, doing a mini series of the Hobbits or a specific realm or something, or how the Westfold fell, you know, that'd be interesting. But you're not taking a huge slice of main characters or something to where you'd have the diehard fans say, well, this wasn't in the book, this wasn't in the film, this wasn't this, when you're trying to spin off that character. If they're just taking a slice, we don't know a lot about those witches and those sisters. I think that's the first I'm hearing of it. Are you sure it's not a deep fake? I'm going to question everything today on this show.
No, they mentioned it after the movie came out.
But I think that can enhance the world telling there.
And I would almost argue that I think the other way is I would appreciate more. Let's get into the nuances of some of these main characters. You know, that the idea that we could spend, you know, we could do a mini series around, you know, Paul Atreides and everything that's going on in Dune, and we can spend 8, 10, 12 hours in that regard. And then maybe for the second book, you now make a film. I feel like that's it.
Does the actor have to be alive? Because it worked really well for Andor. Would it work well for a different actor to portray maybe a younger version of that character? Or,
well, I think that's always the danger of trying to go backwards instead of going forward. So
that was profound.
Yeah, thank you.
Back to the future we go. All right, stay tuned for more. Just some recaps of some nerdy stuff going on. And I want to pick Scott's brain a little bit about Monarch. So we'll be back after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show. It's so good to have all of us back together under one roof. We're venting today. We're having lots of ideas and opinions. And we talked a little bit last week with Darth Emilio and Micah. We've all seen stuff, but we all haven't really seen all the things we're talking about. But we got into a little bit of Monarch last week. And Scott, I'll say, you know, didn't really enjoy it early on. There are some aspects and elements I really like, and I'm a Godzilla fan through and through, so it picked up toward the end. What were your overall thoughts of it? Was the 10-episode series?
I liked it from start to finish. I love the way that they were able to take Kurt and his son, and now I'm Wyatt, and have them play the same character. Mm-hmm. You know, 50 years apart, but essentially 30 years apart because of the way all the time continuation works in the underworld or the world between worlds or whatever we're calling it there.
It's not Middle Earth, Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth, but they really talk about that. Even that's not it. It's not so much the Hollow Earth. It's the, you know, it's kind of the realm between worlds or whatever. I really liked it. I thought that it was slow at times when they were working on the backstory with the kids, and that tends to happen. You just run into that in order to do some of your backstory. I thought Kurt Russell's character was a little bit snarky for a while, but after you see more of what he's gone through and what he did, it made sense. And I absolutely loved the reveal in episode 9 when the grandmother shows up and, you know, and she's sitting there going, I've been here 57 days. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's been 50 years or whatever it's been. You know, I thought that was a fantastic approach for that. I love the way they set themselves up to explain why, you know, Kurt Russell's, you know, why Leland looked like he was 20 years younger than he was. It's because he was only gone for a week and, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years passed. I really liked it. I thought they did an amazing job. And to me, it really built some credibility into all of these different films that we've been watching over the last, you know, however many years, whether it's, you know, the old Japanese series, Godzilla Minus One, whatever you want to talk about. But it's always kind of been this thing where it's like, Well, they're there and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they just disappear for years and years and years, you know, and they're talking, it's been, you know, 2+ years since G-Day. And now you kind of get an idea as to why. And I love the way that they built that into the story arc, that this is a way that they travel, you know, from one part of the Earth to the other, and it takes years, it seems, and in their environment, it only takes a day.
Yeah,
you know, as they're going through. So I love that part of the story. I love the way they did it, and I just really enjoyed it. And at the very end, when you see Kong, and that's where they're at. They're now on Skull Island, essentially, and they're dealing with that. I think it was just a great wrap up, and I just really enjoyed the show.
I liked it overall. I want to see it again. At times, it appeared very cheap with some of the special effects. But then at times, it looked really, really good. And I read an article recently about that disparity in some shows of, why did that just look off? Ant-Man Quantumania was a similar. There are a few moments where it just doesn't look like everything else in this series or this movie did.
Yeah.
And they attribute it to some of the stuff in post-production and trying to rapid fire it to the big screen or wherever in that release. So I'm a little more aware of those. The biggest takeaway I had was that Hollow Earth theory and that world between worlds, if we're going to blend Star Wars and just using similar verbiage of explaining that time. I liked that a lot, and I think it'll help a casual fan of why there's so many time lapses. For me, you know, I'm just kind of asking, what does it actually – does it set up Godzilla X Kong that comes out this summer? And if so, how? I mean, I know we got Skull Island. We're right there when Apex about took over for the latest Godzilla versus Kong. Was this show really necessary for those films? Should it have happened sooner, or is this – in my opinion, I would have loved to have had this before Godzilla versus Kong.
Agreed. I think that timing-wise, if we could have gotten it sooner, absolutely would have been. It would not have hurt this story and would not have hurt the series in any way, shape, or form had this come out 2 years ago. I will say I'm glad we got it when we got it, because with everything that's, you know, we're going to start seeing some of that stuff, the Godzilla X Kong, I'm curious to see where that's going to go because of kind of the way the last, you know, film ended. And now we kind of know what's going on. And we sort of have this, we've got this Kong who has been living primarily on Skull Island. The only thing I don't like about it is that if you recall, when we went into the Hollow Earth, it truly was a Hollow Earth. And so what I'm not overly excited about, and I'm a little bit worried, is how are they going to try and tie up these two very different elements. Mm. So it's almost like there's a Hollow Earth that they could go and hang out in and time just handles itself normally. But then there's also these fissures, these, you know, highly radioactive spaces that they jump into that gets them into a world between worlds where time moves much slower than what it does on Earth or in Hollow Earth. Because if you remember when, you know, when Kong and Godzilla come back, you know, we're still dealing with a normal timeline in all of those instances. So I felt like that's something that they're going to need to figure out continuity, how they're going to explain. Because, yeah, that there's not continuity when you think of it in that capacity. But all of these different fissures that they've had are maybe different than the quote-unquote entrances to Hollow Earth. So I don't know.
A big beef I had with the first Godzilla to the second King of the Monsters was all these Mutos popped up all across the globe. I think at one point there were like 20 or 25 of these giant predators. You know, you only have a few apex, you know, Ghidorah, you have Godzilla, of course, and then Kong, who was the apex leader of Hollow Earth. Where the heck were those other 20? And then why were they gone all of a sudden for Godzilla versus Kong? And with that time continuity, is that something you think they're going to tie up and try to explain? Or are we just supposed to forget about Godzilla King of the Monsters and the 25, you know, Mutos that popped out of nowhere seemingly overnight and then weren't really mentioned again? But in Monarch, we have outposts literally everywhere, likely where these creatures popped up.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling that we're probably going to be asked to forget about that. It's one of those things they're going to just sort of retcon and go, oh, well, you know.
And we've seen that with so many of our favorite movies and films, and I think we forget about those because if you're a fan of anything, you can explain. The Ewoks, for instance. Oh, they would be eaten alive at this point by Star Wars fans if they were to emerge. But last thing about Monarch, do you think we're going to see Kurt Russell?
Yes.
In this film?
I think that we will. Oh, in the film?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about the film. I think they're definitely setting him up to where, obviously, he can come back because he's already fallen in once and survived, and other people have fallen in and survived. So I think that that's not the last we're going to see of him. I don't know about the film, though. I don't know how much direct tie-in with what's going on with the film production and everything else that this is. If this is like creating this new canon, you know, timeline, I haven't done enough digging to see what that is. But it would be interesting. It wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know.
One thing I'm worried about with this film, and I love Godzilla. I can't wait to see Godzilla Minus One whenever that hits a streaming service. But from what I've seen from the real, not deep fake trailers of Godzilla X Kong, is the apex predator is an orangutan. And that's who allegedly, and I could be wrong, they might be misleading us, and it could be Kong's long-lost cousin, twice-removed, redheaded stepchild type of thing, you know, red-haired orangutan.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Is if this new big baddie's going to be another ape? I really hope that's not the case, because I will feel a little discouraged that we already have an ape. We've had Kong for, well, decades, but now in this series. I hope it's something more. I really hope it's something more and not another ape that's a big baddie that killed Kong's family and is about to kill Godzilla and Kong.
I hope it's Mecha Godzilla.
We already had that ish.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the show. What about the creature from Planet X?
Well, we could get that. It's supposed to be a G.I. Joe crossover with us, too, but that might also be a deep fake. Ugh. All right. Well, stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We've got Aquaman recap and more coming up in the last segment. Welcome back to The Nerd Show. The gang's all here. Scott had a Golden Globe-like experience, I understand, at the movies this weekend, seeing what you have claimed off-air to be undeniably the greatest of all time.
Oh, so you walked out?
You are a liar and a fraud and a fake, and I hate you, Nick Kinney.
Did no, you just call him like a stringed instrument?
No. I so wanted to like Aquaman. And I've said it on air before, you know, Black Manta was like one of my favorite characters, you know, on the villain sides of the Justice League and all the other things. And I, you know, liked the way they were setting him up for success in the first film to come back and be the big bad guy in the second film. And I just, the whole thing was just dumb. You know, obviously they tried to really minimize the amount of screen time that Amber Heard got. And, you know, she ends up getting I think she gets second billing in it. So it's like at the end of the credits, it's Jason Momoa, it's Amber Heard. And she's barely in the film, which makes no sense at all.
Well, it's probably in her contract.
I get that. Well, I'm just saying that the film made less sense because literally, you know, Jason Momoa's character, Arthur, just ends up looking like he's a father of a child who has an absentee mom, but they're trying to make him this big family. There are more family moments between Jason Momoa, this baby, and Tamara Morrison by like 10x than there are with Jason Momoa and the baby and Amber Heard. And I know that that's all about, you know, the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, but it just made the movie dumb. And, you know, there are scenes there that just didn't make sense. And, you know, this whole, you know, we're going to go rescue my brother and, you know, my half brother and break him out and just all the other dumb things. And you know what? Dolph Lundgren needs to stop acting. He just doesn't look good. He doesn't act well.
Go back to the science books.
Yeah, something. And I couldn't find anything in the film that was just worthy of giving it any kind of credence or any kind of a thumbs up. I wished I would have waited until it was out on HBO Max so I wouldn't have had to pay for the movie. I mean, I got to go to the film and have popcorn, which was great. But I could have stared at a blank screen for 2 hours and ate my popcorn and drank my soda, and I would have had the same level of enjoyment as I did watching that film. I just, it was terrible.
Aquaman 2, blank screen.
Yeah.
Rated PG-13.
I would have been completely fine with that. And I was really disappointed in it because, you know, it just nothing really was coherent or well done in any way, shape, or form. And
oh, Scott, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just reading Aquaman and the Last Kingdom and the Lost Kingdom.
Yep.
That was actually a deep fake movie.
You were at the wrong film for two hours.
I was at the wrong film for 2 hours. Well,
I think everybody was at the wrong film for two hours. At least I'm assuming I didn't
see. Hey, you know what? I would be okay if that were really true, because then I would feel less taken advantage of than I was going to see this film, because just,
I don't think I've heard that scathing of a review from you, Scott. Normally you're the one who can find a glimmer of, well, this was okay, or at least this part
I couldn't. I couldn't. There was literally nothing about it that they did well. I just, some films should never have been made.
That would be a fun review when we have less content, you know, in the down months of
which films
that we
should
wish
never been made.
That we wish we could revoke and not have wasted our time.
Yeah, that was, I will never get those 2 hours back. And the few scenes of Black Manta where he's still kind of cool were wasted by the rest of the surroundings. So I'm sorry. And I feel almost as bad about Rebel Moon as I do about Aquaman.
Well, I'm glad I haven't seen either of these. And
I know Micah's seen Rebel Moon, and I think Micah liked it more than I did, but it was...
Yeah, it was enjoyable enough to go, well, I didn't completely waste my time, but it was... There were a lot of problems, and it probably should have been a series, and I'm hoping that the rated R version that they should have put out is a good movie.
We talked last week with Emilio, who... You know, with the Snyder Cut or whatever these things are called, why does that have to be released in order to tell the story? It just needs to be what it needs to be.
Yeah.
And you know, we kind of surmised last week, is it a money grab? Okay, well, we had this half-ass PG-13. Wait till you see the rated R version. It's just like Lucas's rated R version
better.
Of Revenge of the Sith with the sand people stripped for Anakin. And that's really, I mean,
you know,
just...
I go back to the, you know, where we kind of got to the term, the Snyder Cut, which was with, you know, Justice League. And we know that Zack Snyder left the film in mid-production for very viable reasons. So I don't blame him at all. And we know that the new director that stepped in took it in a different direction. And I think, wasn't it Josh Whedon?
Yeah. And Josh Whedon messed it up,
went a different direction. And so we got the Snyder Cut. That was supposed to be, all right, now that I'm back and I'm able to do this, let me put together a good film. And I will say, I really enjoyed the Snyder Cut of Justice League. I felt like it was a much more coherent film. It made a lot more sense. It really got to a point where I wasn't scratching my head multiple times throughout the film.
And there were places for you to go up and get a snack or maybe pee.
Yeah, maybe.
And that was kind of them to do because it was pretty long.
Yeah, it was very long. But I don't understand the point with Rebel Moon, because it's not like he walked away and said, I'm not going to finish this, and then is coming back a year later and going, okay, I'm going to finish it. They literally are going, well, here's something we rushed to production, but it's not really what I wanted, but I'm going to release what I wanted in a couple months. And so that irritates me, because there's no logic for doing it this way. Mm. It doesn't make sense.
And that is a Netflix.
Yes.
Right?
I think they're both going to be on Netflix, because Rebel Moon's on Netflix now. And I'm assuming that the other one is also going to be on Netflix, but it doesn't make sense.
For me, with Netflix as a financial advisor, they're one of the strongest entertainment companies as far as they're making money in spite of some of the movies and shows that are coming out that aren't great, because they have so much stuff that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger Things, which has started filming season 5. Rumor is Argyle's not coming back, and that's not a big thing that's upset. I hear this season's going to be really dark. This is looping into how Netflix can afford to do that when it's not going to theaters and making big money. Are people really subscribing to Netflix to watch Rebel Moon and subsequently the Snyder Cut of Rebel Moon?
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it.
I think So I saw an article a few months back that said that Netflix's most profitable, some of their most profitable, and I don't know if profitable is right, but
for their mailing service still?
Most viewed. I don't know what you said, Nick, but I imagine DVDs. It was really bad joke. So
I think you can still do that.
I think they just cut it this year or last year.
Yeah. But anyway,
sorry, Micah.
I saw that they had said that some of their most streamed shows weren't even theirs. So licensing is pretty good for them. So if you get like a Friends or a Frasier, you know, something that was popular back in the day, or a Seinfeld, that's good for you, for all those people that want to go back and watch. All those people are like, I don't have that on DVD. I'm going to sign up for Netflix and watch it.
Or to be able to, because there's Band of Brothers on Netflix now, and that's an HBO Max, Max one.
Yeah, and that all has to do with licensing agreements and things like that. And I think even HBO Max, or now it's just Max, but I've watched them. They cycle content off because they want to keep it fresh. They want to keep it like you don't have this.
They got rid of Westworld.
I know.
It's exclusive. Yeah. I think everything is exclusive now, even if it's an original.
But what's happening is they're taking it off, and it wouldn't surprise me if in a year you could see Westworld on Netflix. And then it would be there for 6 months, and then it'd go away, and then 6 months after that, you could see it again on Max. You know, I think they're cycling through that. That's how you do it. You sell it off, you let somebody else pay for it for a while, and then
it's a Paramount Plus can go away, and they can license all their stuff and actually make money.
Yeah, that would be all right.
My goal is to cut two streaming services this year. We'll see what makes the cut.
Oh.
March Madness. That's what we'll do.
Well,
game.
Peacock apparently has now gotten into the game with the NFL, and there's a lot of people unhappy about that. So,
Well, thank you all for tuning in to the Nerd Show. Scott and I are out next week. You'll have Micah and Emilio if we have a show. Hopefully we do. Depends on the sports ball. But Nerdians, y'all stay nerdy.